Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is episode 2, Cutting the Cord. We're going to get into a little bit of the quote-unquote illegal stuff this week. With me this week, like last week, the tech enthusiast, cord cutter himself, Piper the DJ.
Good evening, Mr. Old School. Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure to have you back, and I know we're going to get a little geekier on this episode. Last episode was a little more broad because we were talking about, you know, actual sites that people are aware of, Hulu and Netflix, and not stuff that, you know, even stuff that my mom would be familiar with, you know.
For lack of a better term, the common usage of what's out there.
Absolutely. You know, that the layman knows exactly what to do if they have even a smart TV or a gaming console. Right. Pretty much everybody has Netflix, and Netflix is, to my surprise, and they had a great strategy to just get on every platform possible, not be closed-minded, and be the exact opposite of what all the cable companies were doing. So they were very smart in that regard, and they are by far the leader worldwide as well. And especially
when you take into consideration they've become their own production house and their own Netflix exclusives. I mean, Daredevil is one of them. I believe I was going through recently added to the other this morning, and I saw 5 or 6 new Netflix originals that were on there. Now, I understand you folks don't get everything that we do down here in the terms of, what is available on Netflix. But Netflix has just been booming recently with their own originals. Orange is the New Black, that's another one. House of Cards, you know. They've taken the production stance and really become more niche. I mean, HBO used to be the only place where you could get Game of Thrones. And, well, matter of fact, it still is the only place you can get Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. But you know what I'm saying? They're taking not only being an entity for presentation, but also they're taking the opportunity to produce their own media and say, hey, see us over here? Come visit. You know, this is what we have, and they're bringing the people in, and yeah, sure, it's still spoon feeding the media, but I mean, they're bringing the people in and giving them a reason to come back. If nothing else, just Daredevil, and I don't know if you folks get Daredevil up there. I remember listening when you guys reviewed it on Old School at the Movies. There were a few people that had watched Daredevil. And with great reviews, and I agree, Daredevil is a great series on Netflix, and I look forward to the next one.
We actually do get all the originals. That's one thing Netflix understands, is that content restrictions are a pain in the ass, and it's what inhibiting people from getting a mass distribution of a product over to a worldwide mm-hmm. audience. So that's they understand that. They know the difficulties in acquiring licensing rights when you have to deal with 14 different companies for 14 different countries. So we get absolutely everything that you get in terms of Netflix originals, which I think is a great idea. These guys really see the long-term game. First thing is get the subscriber base. At the time, bandwidth was an issue in the States and in Canada, so they did a mail order DVD business. Once they saw that internet speeds and broadband and bandwidth and stuff like that was able to handle it, they transitioned over. It was a little bit of a difficult transition because they had, you know, people who are set their foot in the sand and said, well, yeah, I want my DVDs, man, you know. Yes, but they transitioned and, you know, their stock took a bit of a hit at the same time, but they played the long-term game perfectly. To my understanding, there's no more mail order on Netflix. I think you have to use like a Redbox, a service like that, to do that. So that's done. And now they're seeing the long-term game in the fact that the media companies are going to see them as a threat. They already do see them as a threat.
Oh yeah.
But they still license their stuff out because they're greedy bastards, which is fine for us. We benefit.
Sure.
But they see the long-term effect that eventually companies are going to put their foot in the sand and not license their content. So they're jumping the gun and they're providing their own content because they've got the money to throw it in right now. Might as well get you've got the viewership already. You've got whatever amount, hundreds of millions of clients you have already. Take that client base, develop new properties to make people want to stay for your content specifically. Mm-hmm. People will stay on cable packages for two shows on HBO. If Netflix can get one or two shows like that, they've got that subscriber base in there hardcore already. So these guys, absolutely, and I know we're going to go on another off topic, but fuck it. We'll just talk about Netflix right now because that's where we go. That's what happens.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it rolls.
Absolutely. But these guys see where it's going, and they're going to be the next HBO. They're going to kill HBO.
Oh, these guys get it. I mean, how many times have we said in the past year, just you and I talking back and forth, these guys get it. I mean, they get it. That's all there is. They came in. They weren't fast. I mean, I sat there when I first saw Netflix commercials. I was like, why the hell would I want to order a DVD on, you know, online, have it sent to me, put it in the mail, wait 3 days for another one to come back when I got a video store two blocks away, three blocks away, whatever, that's got the same price. Now, when Netflix went streaming and they started offering their streaming packages, I looked at that and I was like, that's looking kind of appetizing. It was about the time where I started my quest into cord cutting. And I was like, yeah, sure, you know, give it a try. And I did my 30-day trial, and 1 month turned into another. And I found out that it wasn't long until I didn't need, you know, to go to the video store or to, you know, go to Redbox or anything like that. And these guys get it. I mean, they got in, they took their time, and it's not like they came in and went balls to the wall, you know, Netflix originals, Daredevil and House of Cards and everything like that. I mean, they came in, they took their time. They're like, hey, you know, new guys here. We want to offer you convenience, et cetera. You know, no late fees. You make the list, mail it when you're ready. Watch it once or twice if you want. If you could only do one movie a week, so be it. But here's your membership fee every month, you know. And there wasn't a pressure or a demand even at that time. And then all of a sudden Netflix comes out and says, hey, we offer streaming now. So those of you that can support five down, give us a look. See if you can upgrade. You know, this is what it is for a trial or what have you. And then that started catching on. And then all of a sudden Netflix originals started emerging. It started out with one and then another one. And then before you know it, we're up to five. And now we're up to seven. And I think I counted earlier today, and there's like 12 or 14 now Netflix originals. And yeah. I'm just like, my goodness. I mean, you know, you want to talk about a slow burn or a slow build. How many times do us as wrestling fans, we're begging for that, right? And here you see a company with I mean, everybody all the way up from the top of the food chain to your standard phone operator, you know, taking that slow build. And here they are, boom, and they are a force to be reckoned with for just being nothing more than a mail order company 5 years ago.
They saw something broken and they fixed it.
Yeah.
What was broken? You had to go to a store to rent a movie.
Yeah.
What was broken? You didn't bring it back. You had to pay late fees. And yeah. I know some people had to pay a lot of late fees to the point where it went to a collection agency. Imagine a movie that you're borrowing that you didn't buy. You borrowed. You didn't bring it back right away. And you have a collection company that's calling you, asking you for money. So that's going to destroy your credit rating. That's a broken system, in my opinion. The fact that you have to go pick the movie up, return that movie. To me, it just didn't make sense. I was always annoyed by it. So when I saw the offer of, in this case, there was a Canadian company called Zip. This is probably long dead now. But they offered the DVD through the mail business before Netflix was... Actually, no, Netflix only did streaming in Canada, actually, yeah. So they offered that, and I was kind of looking at that, thought it was an interesting thing. But then Netflix just went straight to streaming at that point, and I was like, I looked at it and said, no-brainer. And this is talking... You know, pirates, you and I, and I don't mind being called a pirate. You know, I can easily get stuff for free.
Right.
Well, not easily. I can get stuff for free, but it's a pain in the ass. Because I got
it. It can be difficult. It can be difficult. Yeah.
It can be cumbersome. And sometimes you just want to come home. You just want to sit down, press three buttons, and have your content show up on your TV. And that's why the cable industry is still alive, in my opinion, is the convenience of it, of the idiot box, where you don't have to think about it. You press a button, you know, elderly, people who aren't technologically inclined, infants can run it.
People just still want to be spoon-fed their media. And to counter your infants can run the cable box, infants can run an iPad too, old school. I agree with that, actually. I mean, there's people I know where they say, yeah, my three-year-old, he's got his own iPad. And I'm just like, dude, seriously?
They're sponges. I mean, they're total sponges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, a three-year-old is too young to have their own iPad. But if that's – everybody has different parenting skills, that's on them. But, yeah, I mean, everybody wants the idiot box. Everybody wants to, you know – some people, they just want to be spoon-fed their media. Some people, that's what they live on. They don't want that freedom of choice, I guess, for lack of a better term. They're just so used to it.
They're tuned out.
Tuned out. There you go. They're just, you know, they're so tuned out to it that, hey, you know, it's worked before, so let's just keep what we've got. And these are the same people that have a hard time embracing the digital age. These are the same people that they hold on to one cell phone for 6 or 7 years. These are the same people that drive a car until there's nothing left to it. You know,
it's literally wheels and a piece of rust.
Exactly. But you know what I'm saying? These are the people that say, you know, they're so used to getting consistent utility out of a particular situation that's what they do. You know, and hey, the box has always worked. So what if I'm paying $100 a month over here? You know, I still get my Wheel of Fortune. I get my nightly news. I get my box. I get my stories in the afternoon. I get Hallmark and Lifetime and God knows whatever else. And I'm just like, well, yeah, but, you know, don't you get tired of that? I mean, the eye opener to me, and it still boggles my mind. When I still had cable, I had 200 and some odd channel that I could tap into. And this didn't include pay-per-view, okay? This was just regular channels that I could get. And I went through one night and I said, damn it, I can't find anything I want to watch.
That's every night for most people.
You know, I couldn't believe it. I was floored. 200 and something freaking channels, and I can't find something I want to watch. Really? Seriously? I mean, come on now. Go ahead.
It's probably why Netflix doesn't have a stream, like a live stream, where they aggregate content and just kind of run it automatically. Yeah. Because I think they're very much against that because they're all about just choose whatever you want.
Yeah.
Although I've been guilty, and I've mentioned this on other shows, where I've just literally sat in front of the menu, fucking dumbfounded at the options, and have spent hours trying to figure out what to watch.
Oh, hell, like just, hell yeah.
And that's just, I call it deprogramming. It's my deprogramming from being in a cult-like state where I'm just being fed fucking shit, and movie of the week comes on, and I just watch that.
Yeah.
I'm programmed that way so much that this new phenomenon of just, here, just watch whatever, I'm just blind. I can't shoot. I have so much trouble. And I think a lot of people have so much trouble just deciding on just, okay, I'm going to watch this. And I don't think younger kids have this issue. I think it's more of a 30s plus, the ones that are used to being spoon-fed.
Right.
That have this issue. So that's why I think Netflix hasn't really gone into providing some kind of live stream, because it's, again, they're the long-term company.
To be completely honest, if Netflix were to provide a live stream, whether it be for news or anything, I think that would be extremely detrimental to their business format.
You think so?
I think so, because then they would be taking the freedom of choice that they've been offering and advocating for ever since they were in existence, and then saying, okay, so here's what we got, folks. you have this great big menu, whether you want to watch action or drama or comedy or rom-com or animated or foreign or international or, you know, whatever other categories they have in the movies. Or you can switch over here and watch, and we're going to spoon feed you this content. You see where that difference
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's counterintuitive to what their main platform is.
And I think it would be detrimental to them. But, you know, I think that Netflix coming out with live content and spoon feeding people would be, as you said, counterintuitive.
Yeah, I think recommendations, I think, would kill the need for. And I agree 100% wholeheartedly. No live feed Netflix. Absolutely not.
Okay. I agree.
Let's get into some illegal shit. I guess we can call it illegal shit.
If I could clarify, because you mentioned this last time we were talking, and I've done some thinking about it, and as not only a former entertainer, but also an individual who is also in the production market and things of that nature, I dusted off some of my old policy books and followed them through the redactions and modifications and changes around and things like that. You called yourself a pirate not too long ago, and I don't want to take offense to that term, okay? But piracy is a situation where you utilize digital media for monetary gain, okay?
Okay.
So, for example, let's say you went and, well, you have the Dark Knight trilogy, right?
Yeah.
And you have a big screen TV, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say you post up on your Facebook page, Friday night at Old Schools, come see the Dark Knight trilogy, $10 entry, covers drink and popcorn, all right? Now,
I get where you're going here. And yes, I would probably using this term incorrectly. I do not use it for any monetary gain myself. I guess I'd be more a leech.
A leech?
Yeah, an internet leech.
Yeah, you could use that term graciously, but I wanted to say, because I am not like 100% against piracy, but I do my best not to advocate for it, because I understand, you know, you got the producers and the directors and the editors and the actors and everybody else, you know, who's been part of this production, you know, and there's that little line right there that I put my little feet right up to, but my toes never cross. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. And you know what? It is a fine line. It is a gray area. And we could fuck it. We can go into the morality of it, because some, you know, on the content producing side, they're going to have a certain stance,
right,
and reasonably so, because they put their passion, their effort into this, these works of, you know, of art, media, whether it's music, whether it's a TV show, movies. That's their creation. That's their baby. That goes on the market for sale. They do it for profit. A lot of people don't, but most people want to be compensated for their work. I understand that.
Right.
But, you know, it's a little bit different from tangible. You're stealing a chocolate bar. It's a physical, it's a tangible item. It's different from taking something and making a copy of it. Yes, legally, the law might not see it as different, but human beings see it as different. Because people have borrowed books before. People have borrowed movies. We rent movies. We make copies of things either for personal use or to lend to somebody or to give to somebody. And we're not directly affecting somebody as per stealing a chocolate bar. It's not the same. And whether somebody argues that at the beginning of a movie, an FBI-produced vignette who shows a shady character with a hoodie making people feel like they're petty, you know, criminals because they make a copy of a movie that they own.
Right.
That's where I run into an issue. And I'm very much a fair use guy. And I know the DMCA, some of the controls prevent against fair use. And that's where I come off with the fuck you stance. You know,
right,
it should be reasonable. And that's the problem. Is both sides of it are complete polar opposites. Whereas especially the big, I'm not talking about everybody. You know, there are some independent artists that are a lot more reasonable. But we're talking about the big conglomerates, extremely limit access to certain things, especially on different country lines, and make it extremely complicated sometimes in order to access certain things. Give you an example for a pay-per-view, Ring of Honor. We're going to be watching Ring of Honor next week. And I wanted to host it at my place, but it's not available on the internet. You have to have a cable box with a certain provider and pay a certain amount instead of renting it on the internet, which WWE now has pretty much opened the standard. ROH has done internet-only pay-per-views before, and I was willing to pay that same amount and have it split amongst my friends to watch it. They don't offer that. They only offer it a certain way. And that's where my fuck you comes in. And I'll say, right, okay, you don't want to do it. You don't want to make it easy. Fuck you. I'm just going to steal it. And I don't give a shit. Because you want to be a dick? I'll be a dick. And that's where I think a lot of people are at sometimes, especially with movies and stuff. You know, now finally, actually, let's get to the music industry. Because this is where this is where they got fucked. And people said, fuck you. CDs were $17. There's maybe one or two good songs on some of the CDs.
Yep.
And they did not change their stance. Along comes Napster. Napster says, I don't like your model. Your model's full of shit. Let's just fucking steal everything. Fuck you. That's what they say.
Yep.
People started getting drawn to Napster. They liked the convenience of it. It wasn't more of the fuck you, but it was more of the, oh, I like this song. I'm just going to download it now. I like this album. Why do I got to wait, buy it at a store? Why not can't I just download it, throw it on a digital device at the time, MP3 players? Because, you know, cell phones were pretty basic at the time.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have a special music player to do it, or you'd rip a CD or whatever, have it on your local computer or if you had a media center. And people liked the convenience of it, and they were ready to pay for it because they were used to paying for it. But what did the companies do? Instead of, say, buying Napster and say, hey, people like this model. Let's take a look, see if this works and evolve with the times. Instead, steady, fast, fuck you. We're going to maximize our profits. You know, you're going to continue to pay for those CDs. And if you try something else, we're going to fucking sue you. We're going to fucking sue you and your fucking kids. We're going to fucking sue everybody. Oh, yeah? Fuck you. I'm going to steal everything. That's what happened. And then with that came people being born into the file sharing stuff, and now they didn't have a monetary attachment to digital music or music in general. They didn't have a monetary attachment. And now because of that, the music industry has dwindled, and it is a shell of its former self, where artists are forced to tour and do special events and stuff like that to make monetary gains, where the album is more of a promotional tool. The video industry is turning into that very rapidly. DVDs, Blu-rays are a thing of the past. File sharing and downloading are pretty much taken over. Exactly the same reason. I'm looking right now on Google Video, and I see a movie that comes out. I want to rent that movie. I don't want to buy it. Oh, we're not offering you the option to rent this particular movie. We want you to pay $20 to buy it. Fuck you. I want to rent it. Either you let me rent it or I'm going to fucking steal it. I don't give a shit.
Yep.
They're making it fucking difficult again. They're going to get fucked again, Piper. History repeats itself.
I agree. I agree with that 100%. And you hit it dead on the head when you started talking about Napster and the music industry. You hit it dead on the head when you're sitting there talking about Google Play movies. You know, you want the media the way that you want it. You don't want to be forced into something, you know, you don't want to be forced into buying this movie because A, you know, how many times are you going to watch it in the next 2 years? B, after you watch it once or twice, what's it going to do? It's going to go and it's going to take up space someplace. You know, same thing with music. You go out, you spend all this money on a CD for one, two, if you're lucky, three good songs, or you go out, spend $100 on a box set for, you know, that's got 10 discs in it with maybe 20 good songs in the entire box set, you know? And then, you know, everybody started raising the ruckus. I agree with that 100%. People screamed out in one voice saying, no, you're going to say screw me? Uh-uh. No, 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 no. That's not the way we're playing. Not fuck me. Fuck you. And it came around, and I mean, everybody screamed in one voice. I mean, just looking at the popularity of the Apple iTunes store for music, Google Play Music even, Amazon Music as well. Oh my goodness, where else can I go with this? All the musical streaming, you know, where you can, where you can either pay a monthly fee or download or pay per download. I mean, those numbers are astronomical. People don't, the day of the album is gone unless you've got like a diehard-er, you know, like I know some guys that are really hardcore into Rush, and every time they release a Rush album, whether it be a remix or some tour album or something like that, they're on it quick and in a hurry. But the day of the album is gone. You know,
yeah. And you know, you're going to have your niche people for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Like they were, you're looking at the vinyl community is getting bigger as well. It's not getting, you know, monumental numbers, but there is that niche because that's the way they like to access their music. If we're going to look at the future, it's all about subscription services.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Finally, you know, the music companies are kind of seeing that. And you got companies like Pandora, Google Play Music. Absolutely. I believe Apple came out with a music subscription service recently. Sit, boo-boo, sit. Good dog. Spotify has... So you've got all these different companies that provide kind of like what's called, I guess, the pipe. Just the entire music library of all the companies. Just open the floodgates. Give us $10 a month and you can access absolutely everything.
And that's what it is. I mean, and that's the standard. I mean, I say the price tag $9.99, yep. And immediately first three things that pop in your head, Mr. Old School, what are they?
Affordable. Well, WWE, but
WWE, Netflix.
Yeah, $10. Yeah.
Google Play Music, YouTube Amazon. Streaming videos, commercial yep. free, Amazon. I mean, you know,
it's a magic price point.
It is, and that's just. It's not that one is more expensive than the other or, you know, this one is more economical or bigger choice or whatever. No, it's the price point.
It's the key, though. They've evolved now.
Yeah.
The music industry was at its knees.
Yeah.
And internet sharing and piracy was destroying it. And they evolved. They finally woke up. DRM'd fucking music and lawsuits were not working. They opened it up. They've modified their formula and, you know, they're not going to make as much, but at least people see an alternative to the cumbersome and sometimes annoying way of getting music, whether it's you're using, you know, file sharing programs like, I don't know, I haven't used a file sharing program in forever, but I don't know if Kazaa's still around, stuff like that, or you're going on BitTorrent and downloading albums, or you're going on certain sites and downloading stuff. The convenience factor will always outweigh piracy. If you make it cheap enough where you can make a bit of money and you make it convenient, people will always side on that because people are inherently lazy and they just want shit to work. If you can make it work, make it affordable. Netflix sees that. We're going to go back to Netflix now. That's why I think they're going to take over the fucking world. Either they're going to get bought by some massive media conglomerate or they're taken over. Because right. they've seen this 10 years into the fucking future. Now, in my opinion, they're going to be the one-stop shop for content. They're going to either take over a giant movie company or make their own giant movie company. But that's where it's going, where you're going to pay that $10 and get the entire floodgate of all fucking movies. It's going there. It's going to be a bit longer because the movie industry is a lot bigger than the music industry. But that at the end of the day, it's going to be that $10 to $20 model, and you're going to get everything. That's where it's going. The timeline, I'm not sure about that.
I would give it – I don't see Netflix buying their own production facility, okay? I do see them continuing to produce their own content to make their footprint that they currently have in the streaming world bigger. I see Netflix continuing to offer the same content that they've been offering, whether it be criminal drama, documentaries, action movies, action TV, primetime TV, whatever. I still continue seeing them to do that. But as far as, you know, like either buying somebody or being bought, I don't see those two factors in their plan, because that would lead me to believe that they're getting in a hurry all of a sudden. And if they've been playing,
what if Disney bought them?
Damn, that's an awful big check, dude. I don't know, man. I don't know, because with the business model that Disney has built, being family friendly and being universal and being, you know, the all around G rating for everybody, or even PG-13 rating for everybody. If Disney buys them, what are they going to do when the next season of The Walking Dead comes out? Or what are they going to do when Orange is the New Black is ready, or Orange is the New Black is ready to come out? Or
keep in mind,
House of Cards.
Keep in mind that they have subsidiaries, like they own Marvel, and Marvel has, you know, they're doing a Deadpool movie. And if you've seen the Red Band trailer, it is from PG.
Oh, yeah. So on that one. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So they can branch off and kind of have, you know, have it under the direct Disney name, but have it as a child corporation, something like that. But to me, it just seems like Blockbuster made the biggest mistake of their life, in my opinion, by not buying Netflix when they went to them back in the day.
Yeah.
That it was the most monumental mistake of that, whoever the fuck that CEO was at the time. Because it would be, everything would be Blockbuster instead of the name being sold to, like, I don't know, I think they got sold to Dish or Time Warner for like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And they just fucking died with the times because they didn't evolve. To me, it's, I don't know how big I know they split their stock because their stock was like $500 and they split it four or five times over so that the shares are down to about $100 now. They're more affordable. But I don't know how much the entire value is, but to me, it seems like a good play for a big company to buy them before they get too big that they buy you. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Even if it's an Amazon or something that swallows them, I don't know. Like, maybe they're too big now, you know? I don't know. That just seems like the end game. Let's
$30 billion market value currently for Netflix.
Fuck. Okay. They might have been too late. Yeah. They should have bought them earlier. And that's inflated too, because I don't think their profits represent that.
That's from last year. Hold on. off of Cinema Blend, second quarter, $32.9 billion with a B, current Netflix market value.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
That's insane, dude.
Imagine Blockbuster.
Ridiculous.
Blockbuster telling them, get the fuck out.
Ridiculous.
And the CEO's like, oh, yeah? Yeah, give it 10 years, fuckface. You'll be out of business.
Yeah.
No. Okay, let's transition to Cody.
Okay.
And let's focus on our
old school. I just want to get that out of the way now.
Yes, and we'll understand why he's damning me in a few seconds. So for those who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Cody, formerly known as XBMC, is a free and open source media player software developed by the XBMC Foundation, which is a nonprofit technology consortium. Cody is available for multiple operating systems and hardware platforms, with software 10-foot user interface for use with televisions and remote controls. It also plays and views most videos, music, such as audio and video podcasts from the internet, and all common digital media files from local and network storage media. That's pretty much geek speak for it's a media player that plays on everything. You can actually install it as a standalone operating system on a computer. It works on Android boxes or Android phones, Windows PCs, Apple PCs, Apple TVs. It's an open source platform that is very easy to use. Once I'm just talking about the base install itself. Very easy to use. And we'll talk about the plugins in a sec. But on its own is not inherently evil. You know, if you have all legitimate content and you want an aggregator for that and have it easy to use, Kodi's perfect for that. Where Kodi gets more interesting for guys like Piper and I is there's a very, very hardcore developer community. It's almost like the Cyanogen or the Android community. There are a lot of people. It is a very popular community that is populated by a lot of smart people and a lot of passion. And people spend a lot of time, free time, aggregating stuff, such as music, movies, we're talking about BitTorrent before. And if you're listening to this show, you pretty much know what BitTorrent is. That's just going on a website and downloading something.
Right.
Whether it be illegal or legal, depending on your region and the content you're downloading. But Kodi makes this a little easier, and it makes it more of a living room experience. Whereas the majority of the downloading stuff would happen, and the viewing of it would happen on a PC, laptop, stuff like that. This integrates it more to the living room and makes it very console-ish, set-top box kind of feel. So I dabbled in this about 6 months ago when actually podcaster Charlie, I was mentioning my setup, which was mostly a PC downloading content off sites like Ice Films and stuff like that. And I was using a Roku, kind of mixing and matching. But it's cumbersome. It's a pain. And I'll try Kodi, blah, blah, you know, I was looking into it. Let's talk about what this thing can do. So my needs, I want to watch some streaming video. I want to watch TV and movies. And I might not necessarily want to pay for all of these TV movies. So what this does is there are add-ins that aggregate streaming websites for me. Instead of me going to Ice Films and one channel, BitTorrent or whatever, it makes it, using a remote control or a keyboard and touchpad, I can actually go in, select a movie, and say, oh, what do I want to watch tonight? I want to watch season 2 of Family Guy. I type in Family Guy season 2, shows up. It aggregates all of the possible stream, or not all, but multiple streams from multiple websites, and allows me to select that movie from the interface itself. No pop-ups, no bloatware and getting installed. You know, the API interfaces directly with it, keeping that kind of console-ish look to it. And it's really easy to use once you get it set up. The whole thing, Piper, is to get it set up. The knowledge transfer.
Yes, getting it set up. Being able to look and go back and forth from one to the other. And one thing that you didn't mention is Kodi also is Linux friendly as well as Ubuntu friendly.
Yeah, so, it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
And a lot of my gray hair is on account of setting up Kodi on my Ubuntu box.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a pain in the ass. But I got it done. Flip side to that, also for Android, iOS, and Macintosh OS, they have what's called a TVMC plugin, which is just like Kodi, except it has a different name and it comes pre-configured.
Oh, okay.
So one click, it goes in, all right, click this button, click that, and it all goes right through the user interface and says, okay, you're starting for the first time. We see this. Click here. Click. Okay, it's going to do that. Now click here. Click, you know, okay, this is where you're at. Now click here. Click. All right. Shut down. Start it back up again, and you'll be good to go. And down here in the lower right corner, you can see how everything's updating and doing all its own stuff. And it's an auto-configure. Now, granted, you still have the add-ons that you can get and all the other stuff, but like Genesis TV and One Click and Stream It All and Phoenix System, that is already configured and built in to the TVMC interface, which again falls under the Kodi banner. If you don't want to do all the extra legwork to get Kodi set up, TVMC is available. Okay. And like I said, it is available for Android, iOS, macOS, and I think I saw it available for Windows platform, but don't quote me on that because I'm not a Windows user. But you
learn something every day. Look at this thing. This is awesome. So yeah, it's like you said, it's a custom build of XBMC or Kodi with everything pre-configured.
Yep.
And Android.
The user interface on it is beautiful. I mean, it just, okay, so we see this for the first time. Click here to do this. Otherwise, click here and you'll exit out. And they always give you the option to back out of it. But they also explain the setup process all the way through. They're like, okay, almost done. Click here. All right, now shut it down. Start it back up again. Boom. I mean, like 5 minutes. And I was set up with TVMC on my Android device. I couldn't believe it. I was floored. So when I found out there wasn't a TVMC for Ubuntu, I was like, well, you know, TVMC was easy enough to set up on the phone, on the Nexus. So sure, why not? So I started to delve into that. And one thing after another didn't go right. I had my laptop sitting next to a computer and my MacBook Air. So I'm sitting here using the resources of three computers to configure one computer with Kodi correctly. I was going back and forth literally. This, you know, I had one giving me the information, another one cross-referencing research, and then the other one actually doing the work.
You know, this seems like an Android-only thing, this TBMC.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah, I just see the I see an APK for Android, and I don't see any other downloads. I guess you're kind of SOL if you're I see XBMC installs for Fire TV, Android, Windows, Mac. Ouya, which is I kind of punched myself. I sold my Ouya console for like $50. I could have kept it and used it. Raspberry Pi,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you then they have XBMC Buntu, which is essentially an Ubuntu with just XBMC, so if you want to use the standalone.
That's Kodi. That's got to be a region thing for you old school, because I'm sitting here looking at TVMC for Android, Windows, Mac. There's an Amazon Fire TV plugin. There's a Helix plugin.
Are you sure that's not Kodi itself?
Nope, it is not.
Oh, no, Kodi. I do see it. Okay. Holy shit. You're telling me I wasted all that time
with Kodi? No. TVMC has only been out for a very short time, and they tell you that right in the introduction. It's only been out, I don't remember how long, but it has not been out for very long, okay?
Well, it's saving a step, because I was going to come here and say, download Kodi and download TV add-ons. And TV add-ons, those are the guys that make TVMC. So essentially, we're saving a step. Because it's just integrated all in one box, which is fine. I think that's great. I'm glad we spoke today, because that was my, for the people who were like, okay, I want to get into this Kodi thing. I'd be like, install Kodi and then install TV add-ons. But in this case, literally just go to TVMC and install this, because it's got everything integrated instead of having them manually download all the add-ons. That's great.
In my experience, not only with TVMC, but also Kodi, they have the same power. They do the exact same thing. They operate the exact same way. The only difference is TVMC has a pre-configuration in it, and Kodi starts with nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it even says, like, on the thing, TVMC is a custom build of Kodi.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just, and because Kodi's open source,
right?
They just say, okay, well, let's save you a step and just download this thing. Which I love. It's just the ease of use is great for people who aren't big tweakers. That's great. I think it's awesome. I'm actually curious to see how this TVMC add-on works on an Android TV box. That is kind of my next step. My next evolution is getting off of Windows. I currently run Windows 8 set-top PC. And I use a special plugin for Kodi to access NHL streams, which is a hack of Game Center.
Right.
And I got into that in, I think, one of your episodes of Treading Mobile, and I was pissing on the fact that I had region locks when I spent $200 on a stream of NHL.
Right.
But this is my next evolution is installing this on like an Android box and seeing how that works. But this is very cool. This is very cool.
I can tell you right now, as an Android user and an individual who utilizes TVMC on a regular basis, if you want to use it on a streaming device, you have to load it up, like in your case, your Nexus.
Yeah.
And then you would have to cast it to your streaming device. Now, once you see, like with me, I'll load it up on my phone and then I'll send it to my Chromecast. All right.
How do you find that works? Because I'm curious about these media sticks. I was actually referring to an Android set-top box. I'm sure you're familiar with them, these third-party set-top boxes for itself for about $150.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the new Roku that just came out. That's one that's Android endorsed. There's another one. There's one that just came out like 2 months ago, and I don't remember for the life of me who makes it, but it's supposed to be one of the better ones that's out there. But as far as the Chromecast goes, I can virtually send anything to my Chromecast and watch it all the way from YouTube to Netflix to Amazon to TV.
How do you find the lag is on that for that kind of stuff? Like
it depends on where I'm streaming it from. Okay. Netflix, I don't have a lag. YouTube, I don't have a lag. Amazon, I get anywhere from half a word to a full word of a lag between lips moving and dialogue. Okay.
That would piss me off. I'm too OCD. I couldn't handle it.
You're too OCD. I believe the worst I saw was maybe a full second at one point in time, but that was also with multiple devices running in the house and all my bandwidth was getting sapped up. And it was also before I put a packet shaper on the router, but that's neither here nor there. You know, so obviously Amazon, they're not going to make nice with a Chromecast because Amazon and Google are at odds with each other. Whenever I get a movie off of Google Play, off the Google Play Store, no lag whatsoever. I never have any problems, and I'm only running 10 down. I'm running 10 down, 2 up.
That's almost like the minimum for HD video is 10 down.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
You're,
and I mean, every TV that I have is just 1080, and I just load it in SD anyway, and it does just fine. I mean, I don't have any problems with it. I don't have any gripes. If there's something that I really want to, you know, I don't know, if there was a movie that came out that I was just had a super hard on for, I'd be like, yeah, I want to see the definition of this one, you know, whatever. You know, yeah, sure, I might be interested in downloading it in HD. But 9 times out of 10, if I download it in SD, it does just fine, you know.
Yeah.
And I've got 5 TVs in a house, and I believe, you know, different sizes, but I'm pretty sure they're all 1080 TVs. I still have an Xbox 360 in the house, and that's 720. So, I mean, you know, it's not like that thing, oh my God, there's a round pixel instead of a square one. No, I'm not that guy. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, that there is, like with TVMC, you have to locate it on the device and then send it to the Chromecast. I don't have an Android set-top box. I have a Chromecast. I have 3 of them in the house.
But that's okay. I mean, that's a less expensive option than what you're doing. You're using your existing technology to benefit you instead of having to buy standalone set-top box for $150. Right. Bucks. You have a $30 Chromecast. You have a phone anyways.
Yeah.
So you're just casting it directly to the device.
Well, the downside to that is once you enable casting on your phone, that mirrors your phone on your Chromecast, okay? And for some reason, there's never a lag, there's never a drift or anything like that, and I think it's just totally cool. But at that point in time, whatever's on your phone is on the TV. So if you pull your notification menu down to look at whoever just sent you a text message, that's going to show up on your TV, okay? That right now, that is my only downside to TVMC.
Potentially dangerous, I agree.
Potentially dangerous as well, but that's my only downside to TVMC/Kodi with its relationship to Chromecast, okay?
Yeah, TVMC, this new kind of all-in-one bundle. From what I'm seeing here, I was just looking on the wrong page. It's Mac, Windows, Android, and Fire TV available. And then the rest, like if you had an Ouya, an Apple II, Raspberry Pi, you had Linux, BSD, and stuff like that, you'd have to use Kodi and then install either the add-ons manually or go to TV add-ons and install them from there. But no, that's
exactly.
Hey, either way, you're all set. BSD, they've even got, geez, I haven't seen BSD.
That's ancient. Yeah, that's like ancient.
Solid fucking OS, but yeah, ancient for sure. Like 1,000 different devices, man. Nexus Player, geez, I don't even heard of WeTek, Odroid, and the Intel set-top boxes, Boxy Box back in the day.
Way back, way back when XBMC was trying to go proprietary, and everybody said, "Yeah, no, it needs to stay open." So, yeah.
And you know the stuff's endless. If you guys are curious about specific add-ons that we recommend and stuff, hit us up directly, either at oldmovies.net or I believe was it at Piper the DJ, all one word on Twitter.
Yes, sir. All one word on Twitter. Yes, sir.
There you go. So if you guys have any specific questions in regards to what can I do in plugins and stuff, I guess let us know for that. We can't get too technical because then it's going to get a little boring. So,
yeah,
and I've probably already done that, but that's okay. I'll fix that in post. make it sound a bit more entertaining. Any other things we want to discuss in terms of technology, certain platforms we're interested in, new set-top boxes or streaming sticks, stuff like that we're excited about. Myself, I just subscribed to MLB Network because it was $10 for the rest of the year. So if you guys are, Blue Jays are doing really well. So again, I went with the convenience factor. Yeah, I could probably hack a stream and stuff like that. Or I could spend $10 and get the rest of the season in HD.
Hmm.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
No-brainer.
No-brainer.
I am using a software to bypass the region locks, but that's neither here or there. It's $5 a month, Unblock US. Check it out for your Canadian and British residents. It's also good for WWE Network. But yeah, $10, and I'm watching all my games. So that's the only thing at the end of it, this whole experiment, Piper. From starting on a 486 and one of the first LCDs, so the old school LCDs, is talking about plasma era, you know, downloading stuff on like Pirate Bay and websites and stuff, to now the evolution of my kind of Roku set-top box with Kodi mix thing, which makes sense for me. We're still missing that one-stop shop that does TV streaming, downloading, music, movies, the blanket catch-all for everything. My question for you, Piper, in our immediate, short future, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, I know we're thinking long-term here. Is this going to happen where we're going to have a one-stop everything internet box, internet-based television, movies, distribution? We buy one box, internet-based, from some company, regardless of where they're from, and we get everything. Is this going to happen in our lifetime?
Yes, it's going to happen. And this is how I know it's going to happen. Approximately 6 months ago, PC Mag got on board and they started comparing the different streaming devices that are currently on the market. You asked this earlier tonight, what streaming stick would I suggest? And once again, it goes back to my default question, what do you want it to do?
Yep.
Ever since the streaming age began, there's been a hardcore competition between Roku, between Chromecast, and between Amazon.
Boo.
To a point where Amazon came forward and they released their own streaming stick priced at, I think, $35, $45, and $50 respectively.
Yep.
It comes down to what you want to do. Now, understand, each of these streaming sticks has their benefits. Each of these streaming sticks has their drawbacks. Each of these streaming sticks is also extremely strong in their own right, to a point where the reviewers at PC Mag, when they had to come down and pick a definitive winner between Roku, Amazon, or Chromecast, they had to go with Chromecast for the simple fact it was $35. Okay, that's it. It came down to price point. Now, if we move forward a little bit, Roku has the new device that's come out in the past couple months. Amazon is threatening to release another one of their sticks here shortly. The Chromecast APK has updated in the past 2 months, I believe. So things are advancing. Roku now has become the, quote, universal best friend for every streaming service that's out there. They have their own applications for Netflix. They have their own applications for Hulu. They have their own applications for HBO Go, which is subscription-based. There's also a Kodi application, as well as, I'm sorry, there isn't a TVMC for it. But Roku has become extremely user-friendly. At $50 for the starting price on this, you can stream your content pretty much wherever you want to, given the fact you have control over it. Flip side to that, Fire TV. They have a TVMC plugin that you can get. And this is just for the stick, okay? This is the stick that you can pull out of your TV, put it in your pocket, take it someplace else, hook it up to a router, log in, set it up, and boom, you're off and streaming. Okay, this isn't a set-top box or something of that nature. As far as set-top boxes go, they've evolved quite a bit, and that's a little bit out of my league right now, but I probably will be getting back into that here in fairly soon, just for the simple fact I want to see the full power that TVMC and Kodi can bring to the set-top box. Just
it's phenomenal, by the way. Sorry.
I believe you. I believe you 100%. Knowing what it's done to my Linux box and my Android phone and my Mac, I believe it 100%. But as far as streaming sticks go, that is simply just as it sounds. It's a stick that plugs into a router, that plugs into your TV, connects to your router wirelessly. Okay. And then from there, you send content, whether it be from a laptop, a desktop, a phone, a tablet. And you send the content to that stick. It's just data. It's ones and zeros. It's information going up and down the internet. That's it. The next step, if a little bit of reverse engineering, and we can plug something in the back of that to where when the information comes in, instead of it going out to a TV, it goes out to a hard drive. What? Hold on. Pump the brakes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a step. It's a simple step. People have backup systems plugged into their routers. You have time capsules from Apple. You have Buffalo systems that are it's not like a full-size RAID, but it's a mini RAID array that plugs into the back of your router. You have a proprietary Apple or Windows micro RAID array with just three drives that you can plug in via USB and make it available as a file server. You have your everyday Joes who are deciding to take these old decrepit computers that they can't do anything with anymore, strip them out, and turn them into file sharing programs. Throw a couple hundred gigs or even a terabyte drive in there. Boom! File sharing at its best. We are just one step from taking that stream to go from the TV to a hard drive, because it's all just information. It's ones and zeros. That's all it is. Nobody cares what configuration the ones and zeros are in. The computer doesn't care. The TV doesn't care. Your streaming device doesn't care. Your router definitely doesn't care. It's all ones and zeros to it. And by that, I mean binary language. And that's getting real geek on some people. But it's just the flip of a switch to go from the TV to a storage device. And I think it's going to be happening in the next 10 years. My opinion.
And on that, yeah, no, I agree. And on that note, let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts. Piper, go ahead.
So out of the 15 topics we had last time we talked, I know we went through two last time. How many did we get?
Maybe do one more.
Maybe one or
two more.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the way it is, so, man. Just got to go with the flow sometimes.
Got to go with the flow. I know. And when you and I get, we go on a tangent and it's wild and crazy and God knows whatever else. And this is perfectly sober even.
Yeah, imagine.
Anyhow, find me on Twitter, Piper the DJ. Trending Mobile Technology will be returning soon. I'm all set to come back to the airwaves. However, I have a couple release dates that I'm contemplating whether I want to come back to the airwaves before or after those release dates. Probably before, just so that I can get some of the other crap taken care of. And, you know, if you're interested in more information in the headaches that I endured when it came to the different configurations of Kodi as well as TVMC, understand I'm not a Windows guy. So those of you who use anything but Windows, I could probably answer your question or at least help you. No offense, Mr. Old School, but
none taken.
You know, but feel free. I'm always open to information and communicating with people and exchanging information. And that's all I got.
Thank you very much, Piper the DJ. This is, I guess, my closing thoughts are, if you do dabble in certain things, depending on your region, you might run into some legal or morality issues. We always recommend that you use a VPN. Certain VPNs give certain things. Unblock US is a service I use to bypass region lock. But if you want to go some a little more deeper to hide your traffic, not to say that you're doing anything illegal, but it's always good to hide your ass. Great VPN called Hide My Ass, actually. HideMyAss.com. I have a couple of friends who use it. They really recommend it. And one I used to use as well, Wetopia. A little bit more expensive, but I think you're going to get a little bit better bandwidth. But I think both are going to give you about 10 meg down download streaming. So provided you have at least 10, then it's perfect for you. Let's just end on that note. And I'm not sure if we're going to go into media stuff again next week. We'll see. We'll see where it takes us. I don't really have a set timeline here, a set show notes. We didn't have any show notes today, so we just kind of went with it. Go with the flow. And in this case, I think it's kind of fun. We see where it takes us. And when Piper and I get together, usually it goes fucking all over the place. It's great.
It's all over. It's serious. I believe one night we were set down for a 2-hour recording, and 4 hours later we were just getting off the phone. I mean, that was the craziest. But yeah.
Yeah, and for more info and stuff we talked about, Kodi.tv for Kodi specifically, and tvaddons.ag, which will get you the plugin for Kodi, or if you want to actually download the all-in-one installer called TVMC, which Piper thankfully enlightened me to this evening. So for Piper the DJ, it's Mr. Old School saying, hide your ass.
Yeah.